Hello, everybody. This is the translation of the message for Sunday, the 4th of August. Godliness. Introduction. Over the last 2 weeks, Lucy has been taking us through the lives of two Old Testament characters, one rich and one poor. These two people had very different profiles and their way of dealing with things was very different. If they were alive today, I am sure we would have given them a profile. We would have put them in a box in our minds and, in our way of thinking, we would have described them as this or that type of person. Today we are very quick to look at or listen to someone and immediately, in our way of thinking, we put a label on them. This morning I would like to look at one of these labels and see where we stand in relation to it. In this world of superstars, on the football field, in the world of athletics where individuals achieve titles, how would we like to be known when others observe us? How do people judge us? There is no greater compliment to give a Christian than to call him or her a godly person. If you want to give a title to my message this morning, it would be this: The Pursuit of Godliness. Godliness is not contagious. The Apostle Peter instructs us to add to other qualities godliness, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 6. It is not something that just happens, that we fall into because we are Christians. Godliness is not reserved for a few Christians of a bygone era or a group of super believers today. The privilege and duty of every Christian is to pursue godliness, to study godliness, and to practice godliness. What does it mean to be godly? Do we have to live in a monastery to be godly? Do we have to go to theological college and get a theology degree? Does that mean we can't watch television? Does this mean I can't have fun, enjoy myself? The answer to these questions is no. You may be wondering if a person can be godly and still be competitive in sports, successful in business, and financially successful. The answer is yes, and at the same time, a person can be talented, involved in God's work, and even successful in some aspects of Christian service and yet not be godly. So let's briefly look at this topic. Firstly, what does godliness mean? To me, godliness is simply taking God seriously. The heart of the godly person beats with a desire to respect and revere the things of God. This does not mean that he is always serious. He appreciates life because he appreciates the creator of life. The Old Testament tells the story of a people who did not take God seriously. These ancient Hebrews had escaped the slavery and punishment of Egyptian rule. On their journey back to Israel, they witnessed God's miracle of parting the waters of the Red Sea, resulting in the death of their Egyptian pursuers. These people had it all. God led them with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. God delivered them across the Red Sea. God's leader, Moses, was before them. God fed them with manna from heaven and water from the rock. They were surrounded by unparalleled privileges. God's presence was constant. His action was evident. They were given a heritage of piety. Godliness. In fact, you might think that these people were the epitome of godliness, but they were not. The Apostle Paul wrote of these people, "Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness," 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. When they left Egypt, they gambled with their lives and with God. This is a dangerous business. What happened to these potential believers? What caused their downfall? Paul, once again, surmises their tragedy and demise. "Do not be idolaters, as some of them were idolaters. For the scripture says, 'Do not be idolaters as some of them were,' as it is written, 'The people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry.'" 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 7. It seemed like a fellowship party. The supernatural became commonplace. Talk of God abounded, but they lacked reverence and fear of God. They took God for granted. They became complacent in their values. They forgot their heritage. Apathy was everywhere. They were not serious about God. Their relationship with him was far from what it should have been. Sound familiar? Never in the history of the world have we been so blessed. We are inundated with Christian media. We could spend 24 hours a day reading Christian books available in our own language, watching Christian programs on the internet, Christian conferences and seminars, and so much more. Never has the potential for religious instruction been greater. Our churches should be overflowing with godly men and women. Are they? Too often we go down the same byways as those ancient Hebrews. We mock what we should honour. We accept as normal what should make us weep. We play with what we should take very seriously. May I ask you this morning if you take God seriously? God who created the heavens and the earth, God who holds all things together by the word of his power, do you take him seriously? It is easy to sing, "Our God is a mighty God." But I wonder sometimes this morning if we give him the place he should have, his greatness, his majesty, his power. Do you take God seriously? If so, you are on the path to godliness. Secondly, how do you know if you are godly? How do you know if you take God seriously? How do you know if you radiate the aura of godliness? Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. People who take God seriously. A thirst for God. If we are to be godly, we must thirst for God. David was such a man, he expressed his desire vividly. We read in Psalm chapter 42, verses 1 and 2. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? What could be more intense than the thirst of a hunted deer for water? The psalmist wanted to see God's face, to enter into his communion and presence. Intensity for God is the heartbeat of a godly person. David Livingstone, a missionary to Africa, wrote, "Every morning in Africa a gazelle wakes up. It knows it must run faster than the fastest lion or it will be killed. Every morning a lion wakes up. It knows it must outrun the slowest gazelle or it will starve to death." Livingstone sums it up. It doesn't matter whether you are a lion or a gazelle. When the sun rises, you better run. Charles Spurgeon similarly wrote, "If you do not seek the Lord, the devil seeks you. If you do not seek the Lord, judgment is at your door." In the pursuit of godliness, it is not enough to wake up. We are called to run, to become like Christ, to press forward in godliness. Look at what Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." Godliness is not earned by sitting back and waiting for things to come easily. It requires hard work, enduring perseverance and continuous effort. In a way, you have to run for it with all you have. The godly person is content with his relationship with God, but he is never satisfied with his or her present experience. He always yearns for more. Are you pursuing God? The second thing about godliness is to focus on God. The person who pursues godliness focuses his attention on God in all things. The problem and tragedy of modern man is that we tend to divert our attention from God. It is quite possible to become an idolater, An idol is anything that diverts our attention and worship from God. Idolatry must have been a problem in Paul's day. In his letter to Timothy, the subject of godliness is discussed in reference to two distractions from its pursuit. Both are self-centered. The first is bodily exercise, the second was money, but godliness with contentment. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. But you, men of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Paul correctly addresses the problem of 21st century Western society. The age of fitness and monetary gain has arrived. Please do not misquote me today. I'm not saying for a minute that these things are sin. There is nothing sinful about these activities until they come between God and us. I picked up this story from a book I read some time ago. A man who had spent all his time earning and amassing money found himself in a very disturbed and unhappy state and went to a pastor for advice. The pastor, who knew the man well, took out the Bible, pointed to the word God, and asked, "Do you see that?" "Certainly," the man replied with irritation. "Okay," said the pastor, "take out a coin and placing it on the word of God. Can you see the word now?" The man doesn't answer immediately, but eventually says, "Yes, I understand now." George Verwer of Operation Mobilization noted that godliness is an exercise or discipline that focuses on God. What do you do to focus on God? Have you let the cares and worries of the world cloud your view of God? What activities do you engage in to keep yourself spiritually fit? C. Worship God. Worship allows us to recognize God as he is. We see him as he is, majestic and sovereign, and we see ourselves as we are, finished and powerless. The godly person removes himself from the center of his world and puts God in his rightful place. In fact, the Greek word for godliness embodies the idea of well-directed worship. Reverence for God moves us to worship him properly. Too often we take God lightly. We approach him casually. We think of God as our friend or buddy. But he is the eternal God of the universe who has a claim on our lives because he has placed eternity in our hearts. We must approach him with respect and reverence. Reverence for God will also govern our conduct. John Murray says, "What or whom we worship determines our behaviour. If a person worships a sport, his conduct and behaviour are tied to that sport. If a person worships money, he is driven to accumulate as much of it as possible. If a person worships God, he seeks to know him and live in obedience to his principles. Who or what do you worship?" The next sign of a godly person is that he is willing to D. serve others. Godly people do not complain about what happens to them. Instead, they find joy in service. The quickest way not to dwell on your personal misfortunes is to get involved with those who are less fortunate than you. In doing so, you will discover that you are better off than most people. The godly person not only gives back to God what is due to him, he also serves his neighbour and gives back to them what is due to them. Someone has said, "Some people are so heavenly minded that they are no good for earth." I believe that only when people are heavenly minded can they be useful on earth. When we spend time with God, he guides us to serve others. Godly people know that service is an extension of worship. The best evidence of godliness is not the monk who lives in a monastery apart from others. This is the person who lives a godly life amidst crying children, busy schedules, workers who are always unhappy and rain-soaked days serving others. Who or what are you serving? And in conclusion, will you be serious with God or will you just play along? Is your Christianity a Christianity of the heart or is it superficial and skin deep? Do you speak Christian jargon but fail to live the godly life? The godly life will not be easy. It will take all the courage, discipline, and perseverance you can muster to take God seriously. Godliness may not be an easy life, but it is a life that stands out. Others will notice. The godly person bears the seal that reflects the very seal of God. People will take note of such a reflection. In conclusion, I leave you to reflect this week on Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Amen.